Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 37. It says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How many have heard this scripture before? More than conquerors. This whole section here, we read quite a bit. This is one of those, you have those go-to places in the Bible where you just, I need to pick me up. I'm going to go to those verses that I know that are just like, man, nothing can separate me. I'm more than a conqueror. This one I heard a lot. And I've been teaching out of Romans to our LA group this last month or so. And I've taught Romans for 6 years now to different LA groups. And this one, I really only started asking a new question here this last year about this verse, because I never stopped and paused to think about what it means to be more than a conqueror. Like, what is more than a conqueror? Maybe you've had this thought before, but I hadn't until this last year. In history, we have a lot of well-known examples of conquerors, and most of them don't line up with what we're talking about here in Romans 8, the people that you could think of like Napoleon Bonaparte, you know, conquered a whole lot. Caesar Augustus, Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan, Adolf Hitler, conquerors. So what? It's not really what we're talking about in this verse, right? But it says more than a conqueror, and we look at that word, more than an overcomer. We overwhelmingly overcome if you have that version. But these men I just named, they gained fame and notoriety through defeating people, through taking land that wasn't theirs. They invaded areas they wanted and just took them for themselves. Now, I don't think that that's what this is talking about at all, but I am a firm believer that you can learn something from just about anything. And so I want to point out two quick things here to try and glean something from those names here. The first thing that sticks out to me is these guys, the way they attacked and the way that they are known because they were great warriors. They were known because they were great generals. That the way that they fought, the way that they did, and if we took the intensity that they did to conquer for selfish reasons, if we took that intensity and applied it to overcoming our flesh, our struggle in sin would be entirely different, wouldn't it? Because, you know, it's not okay to conquer other people, but, you know, we got to conquer the flesh every day. Paul talked at length about crucifying the flesh, and crucifixion of the flesh, I mean, that's a detailed, systematic thing. If we went at our sin nature, our sin problems, like they did trying to conquer the world, we would be a lot more successful maybe in our passion for that. So that's one thing that I pulled away out of this. The other thing that I saw when looking at this list of names is that they all had one thing in common, and that all of these great conquerors were eventually themselves conquered. Every single one of them. Their kingdoms broke down. They died, they were killed, or they killed themselves. Every single one of them lost what they tried to get. But there's a good reason for this, other than just being mortal. And that's this. Maintaining is always more difficult than overcoming. Maintaining is always more difficult than overcoming. You can look at this in lots of different ways, but let's just compare and contrast here real quick. Conquering, overcoming. There is an end point. Even if your end point is the entire world, there is an end point. At some point, you have, okay, let's play it out, and okay, now you've conquered everything. What are you going to do now? With maintaining, there is no end point. There isn't. Conquering has a specific focus. Attack this. Defend that. Maintaining is a very broad scope. You know, make sure everything is working correctly all the time. Yes, I'll get right on that. Conquering has an emotional draw to it. We like, even as men especially, like watching movies where there is some kind of conqueror in the movie, where you can get behind a guy that's got a battle cry and he's going to go take something on and take. There is an emotional draw to conquering something. If you say, everybody come and let's all maintain something, there is no emotional draw to that whatsoever. In fact, tonight my sermon is named More Than a Conqueror, because if I'd said we're going to talk about maintaining, nobody would want to listen to it. The very idea of maintenance turns people off. There is no good emotion that comes with it. Conquering comes with recognition. When you conquer something, you can say, I conquered that. Those names that I just listed off mean something because they conquered a certain amount of space. And all of them, if you look it up on the internet, all of them are in books or whatever, they all compare who was the best conqueror. Well, this guy had more land here. Well, this one defeated more people. Well, this one did. And all of it is, it's recognition for what they did. Maintaining, there's no recognition whatsoever. There is none. Good job. You mowed your lawn. It's great. You're never going to have to do it again. Oh, wait. Just mowed my lawn yesterday. It'll have to be done in a couple more days. Conquering has a reward attached to it. You at least get some kind of spoils of war. But maintaining, its only reward is that something is going to go wrong. You got it all working great. Now sit back for about an hour and wait for something to happen so you can get after it again. So what can we get out of this? Well, the conquering that we're talking about here, in chapter 8, verse 37, it's not talking about conquering the same kinds of things that we're trying to conquer today. The hardships that the people in the Bible were facing, when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, it was just about a dozen years, maybe 10 years away from 70 AD. The hardships that the people reading this letter were about to face is nothing like what we're facing today, especially in America, at least in America. But the hardships that they're facing still had ended up pushing them in the same direction, and that was separation from God. The things that we face try to separate us from the Lord, and today it looks very different. It's not blatant and overt, and people aren't trying to run us down and kill us, but they're trying to get our attention no matter how they can, whether it's a baby crying, or your phone lighting up and dinging every 5 minutes because somebody said something about something and tagged you in it and you don't know why. Or there's an email, or there's a text, or there's a sign. Things will constantly in this life be trying to separate you from the Lord. And life has a way of making you think that whatever you're doing at the moment is the most important thing that is possibly going on. It's weird how we have that set up. This alarm that we have for this, or this thing that we get. When you live in the moment, you have a tendency to magnify that action, to make it the biggest that it can be. No, I can't do that right now. I'm doing this. Why are you doing that? Oh, wait a second. Why am I doing this? When you live in the moment, you magnify what's there. But the truth is that all of our actions in life fall into one of these two categories here. Either actions that need to be conquered or actions that need to be maintained. You have habits that are good habits that you have been trained in, been taught yourself, worked on. Those habits need to be maintained, developed, kept in good working order. It doesn't matter if you've been brushing your teeth really well for 25 years. If you stop at that point, it's not going to be good. You got to maintain that habit. It doesn't matter if you have a habit of waking up and reading the Bible for 10 years straight or 2 days straight. You got to keep that thing going. It falls into the maintenance category. But then there's bad habits that need to be conquered, bad thoughts that need to be conquered, that need to be thrown out. And we have to think about those and figure out which category they should be in. There are certain things that are in your life that have been there for a long time that you're used to that should probably be conquered. Ways that you just do things that probably you shouldn't do them that way. Now, the things that we need to conquer or overcome are sometimes obvious to other people and not to ourselves. It's so much easier to see things in other people that they need to change. Other times, the things we need to overcome, you'll find people constantly talking about. You know, it's getting to be summertime again. And around this time, everybody starts talking about needing to get out and exercise, needing to eat right. And it always comes up around. It's funny how pride works that way. Vanity works that way. You know, once winter is over, we put all the bulky clothes away and everything. Then we start talking about our physical appearance and what we need to work on. There are some things that are just obvious. People talk, I'm overcoming this. I'm talking. All of these overcoming topics are right in front of us. When something has to be conquered, everyone knows it. And really, it's just a matter of deciding to take action and to do it. things that you've lived with for years and you really, yeah, I know I need to do that. Well, it's time to do it. Two quick keys to overcoming here. And then we're going to move on to the maintaining part. There are two keys to overcoming, and they are number one, wisdom, and number two, passion. You need to have both if you're going to conquer well. Okay? If you're going to be an effective conqueror, there are people who have wisdom, who are very wise. But when you're naturally gifted as somebody who likes to gather information, you usually are lacking in the department of execution, of making something happen. You will sit and gather information. This would be the man or the woman that is going to do something amazing and detailed and intricate one day. They've been working on this plan, and it's going to happen, man, and it's going to be great. You just wait to see this thing happen. They've got a lot of wisdom in how they're going to, they've talked to this person, they've sought this. Then you have the other category of those who are passionate. There are other people that they are going to make something happen. You just sit back and watch me. I'm going to go make this happen. But they have no wisdom in how they're going to accomplish that task whatsoever. This would be the man or woman that is always going off to do something, and as you watch them walk away from you, you know there's going to be collateral damage. You just know it. In fact, as I was looking at these two that I wrote down after thinking about it, wisdom and passion, you might as well name it Colin and Cambry. Because one is constantly thinking about what he's going to be doing, and the other one has already gone and done something, and she doesn't know what it is. And she's crying, and she doesn't know how she got hurt, and what happened. Where are your shoes? I don't know. Just wanted to play outside on my bicycle without shoes on, and I hurt my foot again for the fourth day in a row. Go get your shoes on. Yeah, I have to operate in both of these if you want to overcome well. Tonight, what I want to spend time on is being more than a conqueror, beyond conquering. Because once you've conquered something, you then have to maintain it. It doesn't mean that the struggle goes away forever. Just because I've conquered that doesn't mean that now I'm free and I can. That's great. You now need to maintain good habits that will keep that out of your life. There is a demand in life to maintain after you conquer. And I want to share one big main key to maintaining. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. I was reading a book by Francis Schaeffer called, I didn't write it down, so the name's going to escape me. True Spirituality. Is that right? You don't know. I don't know why I'm talking out loud. The opening chapter, it focused in on thankfulness. And it was very different way to approach this idea of maintaining, and I really wanted to share it with you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. It says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. Now, there's a list here, a long list of what not to do. And I don't know if you've noticed this before or not, but there are a lot of those kinds of lists in the Bible of what not to do. But the thing I found interesting about this verse is at the end of it, of all the words that you could have come up as the opposite or what you should do instead of this list, it ended it with, be thankful. Always be thankful to God. And this idea stuck out to me because I would have come up with something else from that. I don't know. Love, serve your neighbor, something. Thankfulness at the end of this list of don't do all of these things, instead be thankful. And it's not the only place that this is found. Flip over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This is another one of my go-to verses when I need to just be pumped up. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Thank him for all he's done. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. We just keep going to the right a little bit. It's really good, isn't it? Chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Chapter 4, verse 2, same book. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Keep going to the right. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. For you young people that don't know what you're about to go off and do, if you just graduated or you're about to go off and do something, you don't know what it is, what's God's will for my life? Well, one of it is to be thankful to God. Over and over again, we see, be thankful. I don't know if you saw that in in 1 Thessalonians there, verse 18, it said, but in all circumstances, be thankful. I am convinced that in every situation, you can find something to complain about. Every single situation. It doesn't matter where you go or how great it is, there is something that you could find to complain about. And I am also convinced that in every situation, you could find something to be thankful for. It's just a matter of what you decide to do. Flip back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Give thanks for everything to God. Everything. All. When it says give thanks for everything, that is the key for us maintaining. In everything. What does everything include? Is there anything that everything does not include? There's another verse that we all know and quote to ourselves all the time, and it's Romans 8:28. We know that God causes everything or all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Same word with the same implications. You should be thankful for where you're at no matter what's going on. Do you want to know how to do a good job maintaining what God has helped you conquer? Be thankful. Intentionally thankful for everything. Now, this is really easy to say from up here. But here's the thing. You can always trace someone's struggle with sin in their life back to them not being thankful for something in the beginning. Adultery starts in not being thankful for the spouse that you have. Before you are fighting thoughts or fighting issues here or there, it starts with you're not thankful for what you already have. Stealing, it begins when you're not thankful for what you already own. And this is rampant in America today. Not necessarily theft, but nobody being content with what they have. They always need something more. They look at somebody else's life and what they have. Well, I don't have that shirt. Well, I don't have that car. Well, I don't have, what. No matter what, we got to start with being thankful, because it's when you get away from thankfulness that you lose your grip on maintaining what you have. Lying begins in not being thankful for the life or the situation that you're in, thinking that if you lie, it'll make it better. Coveting. Can I just say that coveting is probably the worst one of those commandments in the Ten Commandments to focus in on? It's rough. Don't want other people's stuff. Don't want it. All the other commandments you could go through and you could be like, check, 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 check. And this one struck at the heart of everything because it was like, it's an internal thing. It's a thing where I shouldn't want, like don't covet what that person has. I want that person's thing. Okay. How do you fight that? With thankfulness. Thankfulness for what you have. Thankfulness for what you have. The commandment to be thankful is not some magical feeling. It's not something that just comes out of nowhere. This is not, I'm not up here saying be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, and you go out of here, I'm trying to chant this to yourself or something. Being thankful, does anybody know somebody who is thankful? Like, you can think of somebody, they're always thankful for something. What is it that you always find them doing? Smiling? I always hear them actually physically thanking people for things. They're always talking about how grateful they are. And that's all there is to being thankful, is intentionally giving thanks for things. And that's what we got to do. That's how we maintain. You think about your yard. Let's start with, it may be because it's summertime and this is personal for me, but your yard. When you are thankful for the yard you have, you will mow it in a different way than if you weren't thankful. You will. You'll take care of it differently when you are grateful for the yard that you have. Your house. There is always something going wrong in a house. It doesn't matter which house that you have. It doesn't matter how nice it looks on the outside or how nice it looks on the inside. There is always something to do on a house. When you're not thankful for that house, it doesn't look like you're thankful for that house. It doesn't look like it inhibits your ability to maintain it. When you recognize that what you've been given is from the Lord, it will change your attitude about maintaining. Maintenance is not a bad thing. It gets a really bad rap because it's incessant. It doesn't stop. But we have to be more than just conquerors. And I went out and I got this and I made this happen and I got this job. That's great that you went out and got a new job. Now keep it. Let's maintain it. Let's make something. Let's grow something. Doesn't it make sense? And when you're not thankful for that job, that's when you're ready to quit and go find another job. And I'm going to go conquer something else. This all clicked for me really big, and I hope it is for you tonight. If you're constantly thanking the Lord for his provision in your life, you won't be frustrated with how much money you're making. You won't. Well, I can't pay my bills. You're focusing on the wrong thing. You have bills, which means that you have electricity. You have running water in your house. You have clothing. You have food. You have a family. Whatever it is, I know that that's what it costs to maintain that. But when you're thankful for it, it just changes the way that you go about life. If you always thank your spouse for the amazing meals they make, the work that they do, or that they make meals at all, if maybe you have a spouse that is not an amazing meal cooker. If you're thankful regardless, it will change your attitude towards the entire thing. Man, this frozen dinner is delicious. This is the best pizza out of a box that I've ever had. Thank you for going to the store and picking this up. I am so grateful for it. It'll change your attitude. When you acknowledge God for his role in your life, you are consciously putting him first above everything else. And that's what thanking him every day. When we pray and we thank him for a meal, it can't be something that we just do. It's got to be something that's from the heart. When that happens, it will change the way you go about maintaining your life. When you latch onto this and you're thankful and grateful for everything that comes, you'll find renewed life in folding laundry. You will. Folding laundry. Why? No, I've got laundry to fold. I don't just have the shirt that's on my back. I have clothes at all. You'll find renewed life for paying taxes. Praise God, I get to pay taxes. I made money this year. I made money this year. You cannot agree with everything you got, but you can be thankful to the Lord for the money that you made, for the things that it changes your mindset. You'll see your coworkers as the possibility that they are, not the liability that they are in what you're trying to accomplish. Does that make sense? It will change your ability to communicate the gospel to people. When people aren't a liability to you because you're grateful just to have an opportunity to speak, to share, to live, and show how God has changed your life. You'll see your schooling is something entirely different. Young people, you've got to be thankful for the education that you get. I know it's after education time. Maybe you're still in school. Maybe you just got out. I know it's after, but you got to be grateful for it. It'll change the way you go through school. It will change the way you glean information from people. I know teachers can be frustrating. I know it. I was one. I was frustrating. Sometimes on purpose. I was wrong. I was in the flesh. I understand that, but when you're grateful for your teacher, when you're grateful for your parents, it will change the way that we live. You will see your conquered territory as something worthy to be cared for. And that's the issue that these men ran into. Greed, lies, sin, yes, all of that. But when you have a thankful heart, after you overcome something, after you stake your claim in something, after you make it through, that thankfulness for what you've been able to overcome. Man, I used to deal with this. I don't deal with that anymore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for that. It will make it more important to you. To change this world, we're going to have to overcome and maintain at the same time. America is not going to be won back to the Lord. This world is not going to be won to the Lord unless we're doing both things. You have to take ground and you have to hold ground at the same time. And you're always doing both. You're taking ground in the people's lives around you, your neighbors, your coworkers. You're maintaining ground when you work with your family and your friends, the people that are around you. As you come to church here, we're maintaining ground. We're working on our thoughts. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Verse 7, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. I always got stuck on the first part of that because I thought it was really cool to have deep roots in the Lord. And I got stuck on that mindset of, you know, grow down, dig into the word, dig into. But what is the fruit that should come forth as we do this? Thankfulness for everything that he's done. Not that any man should boast. Not that we should boast. We have nothing to boast in. Nothing but gratitude for the Lord. This week, let's be more than conquerors. Let's be the maintenance crew. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.